Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
head.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Some special guests in the building.
That's right. I'm very interested in this combination.
Charles Hamilton and Rita Ora.
Yeah.
I guess who got here first?
Hey.
Right.
Rita Ora.
Talk about being professional for once. I mean, I'm joking. I'm not.
So I guess Charles Hamilton's a diva. That makes
Nah, not at all. It's traffic. Horrible traffic.
Now, what's up with y'all? Y'all having sex with each other? What's going on?
Not today.
Not today.
Okay, Charles. Right. I see you, Charles.
No.
Way to bounce back with Rita.
No, we thought we'd keep it very professional. No, I mean, he's my boy. He's my brother.
She okay. Cool.
How do y'all get together?
Go ahead, Charles.
It was a simple ask. I asked if Rita could be a part of it. You know, the beat and the song already had a hook line to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was feeling Rita's voice for a while, so I just asked. We have the same management team. I asked if she could be a part of it, mm-hmm. and they were like, yeah.
So it was strictly because you was a fan. You liked Rita.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then the management team thing helps, too. You know, you have the connection.
Yeah.
Let's get it. Because this is like your comeback, and so, you know, it was a little... Got to have the right first look.
Right.
It was a good collab, though. It was really natural. It wasn't like no label kind of meet label kind of stuff.
No, it wasn't forced at all.
It was all really like, I heard it, and I was like, who's that? And they were like, oh, we're looking after Charles. And I was like, really? And I loved his, his old stuff and all of that thing. And I was like, oh, man, let me hear it. So I heard it, and I loved it. So
I mean, a lot of people collab, though, but y'all travel together. Y'all been doing shows together. Y'all do interviews together. That's a little different.
I know, it's like a marriage without the sex. You know what I mean?
Yeah, put me in the high seat already.
But see, you know, Rita Ora already thinks that all black guys have big penises. So.
Oh my God! Man. What I said was, shell toes maybe sometimes can refer to penises might looking large.
Now you gotta explain the whole story.
Oh, for God's sake.
Tell the story.
No.
Because now they're gonna think you was looking at Run DMC. And you was like, damn, Run got a big ass penis.
What I was saying was, I just took my wisdom teeth out and my dentist.
You didn't take them out.
Well, not me personally. My dentist had shell toes on and I was like falling asleep, you know? And he was like a really like put together Caucasian looking dude, right? With mm-hmm. white hair, really like profesh, and then these shell toes on, and I was like, damn, he must have that spice somewhere, right? And anyway, so I passed out. I woke up, and all of a sudden, like, I just said, oh man, you got a big penis, but I was still high, you know, from the painkillers.
So this is a good ad for wearing shell toe
Adidas.
But
I don't remember
anything.
That means
that everybody with shell toe Adidas, every man has a big penis.
Especially the Rita Ora Adidas.
How you know that Dennis didn't do something to you while you was knocked out? And that was like your subconscious mind speaking what it just had seen.
Don't say that.
No, for real.
I ain't gonna do that. It was in like a real fancy area.
Uh-oh.
It was like West Hollywood. So I thought like, you know, go to there. You know, I don't know.
She's like, I don't know.
Sorry, Charles.
Well, Charles Hamilton.
Quiet.
Yeah, he first thing he said to me when he came in here was, come on, Angela, this is not lip service. Because we had some history together, actually.
Yeah.
What happened on lip service?
Did he eat somebody out at lip service?
No, he didn't.
Are all black guys the same, man?
He did not do that.
What happened? You said?
What Charles Hamilton did do, though, was have sex with somebody after the show.
Oh,
I knew it was something.
Yeah, he did. And she talked about it on the radio. She didn't give you a bad review or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that.
But he also had a girlfriend at the time, I think, so that wasn't really good for your relationship.
So. Terrible for it.
There's nothing wrong with that, Charles. I've smashed a lot of Angelique's friends and people that she's had on her show. That's what the show is for.
That's props when he was you. Young and wild.
My goodness.
Now, Charles Hamilton, you have always been very blatant and said things that have been on your mind. It has gotten you into trouble quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to be different for you this time around?
Pure wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, just because something's on the front of my mind to say it doesn't mean I have to say it.
Right.
You know, and got to be wise about your reaction and stuff. Like, if I was wiser about my reaction about certain things that came up, I'm sure I would have gotten a better response from the public. But right. I just, like, jumped out at the first thing that came at me, and it didn't turn out well.
Isn't that a part of your charm, though?
Well, I mean, it's not intentional. Like, I don't intend on, you know, being a loose cannon. No one intends on that. But at the same time, there's a, like I said, pure wisdom. You know, the older you get, the more wisdom you get imparted in the things you say and the things you do.
So. It always works better once you're successful. Like, Kanye can get away with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jay, when you're on the come up, it's like, he thinks he's arrogant. He thinks he's all that. Bad attitude.
Mm-hmm. I think it comes with proving yourself. And I guess men just have that kind of thing, instinct in them, where they feel like they always have to make their presence known. And I think it was that mixed with, you know, I mean, I've been, as a fan, I'm mm-hmm. speaking of, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think lyrically and storytelling wise, like, I think Charles is great. And I feel like, despite anything, that, like, the music speaks for itself, you know what I mean?
Now, Charles, you're from Harlem?
Harlem.
Now, growing up, you know, listening to your music, you didn't have that typical Harlem style, because you came up in Harlem when Dipset was on fire mm-hmm. and Mace was on fire. Where did you get your style from? Because it's different from anything I've seen in Harlem.
I mean, I respect Dipset. I just retweeted Cam the other day. I respect Dipset, respect Cam. Mm-hmm. I love Big L to death. But they kind of were the voice of what I was against, as far as like what the young people were doing when they were listening to hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't really messing with some of the movements it was sparking. So when I got into hip hop, it was around like Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Harlem. Like, of course I listen to hip hop, but like I took some elements of Jay's music, some elements of Eminem.
Right.
Believe it or not, one of my biggest influences is Fab.
Mm-hmm.
Like he definitely, with his punchlines and stuff, like he definitely paved the way for me to kind of step in and add a little sense of humor.
Now, with that being said, you know, because you were against Dipset growing up in Harlem, did you have problems? Did you get bullied? Was there, like, you know what I mean? Because you were against it.
I mean, I wasn't, like,
against the message, not against the message.
They didn't bully you just because you didn't like Dipset.
Nah, because he was that style. Like, he was all against that style.
Like, I wasn't, yes, I was bullied growing up, but I was against, like good kids getting beat up in school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just because they're wearing the color red
mm-hmm.
or they're wearing the color blue, like, you know, like.
So you were against the celebration of the gang culture, the celebration of drug selling.
Like,
I want you to be clear, because I don't want to see a comment Charles Hamilton says he was against Dipset.
Nah, yeah, thank you for that.
thank you.
I didn't want to see, like I went to Rice High School, mm-hmm. and that's the first black Catholic all male high school in Harlem. It mm-hmm. closed down, but like there were dudes that were listening to Dipset, and they would, you know, like, I'm ready. And they would go deck like one of the biggest nerds in the school.
Right.
But, like, wow.
That's not funny, Charlie.
That's what he used to do.
That's what he would do. But go ahead.
But, you know, and I didn't respect that. It's like, if you're going to be a gangster, why don't you go deck that Crip over there? You know what I'm saying? And like, Mr. Crip, why don't you go deck the Blood? So
nobody likes a bully.
At all. So when I started rapping, like, I had to go even harder to be nicer than these dudes who was actually gangbanging mm-hmm. to get their respect. Ironically, as soon as I get their respect, I had to leave the school because I couldn't afford the tuition. But, like, every high school I went to since then, like, mm-hmm. I would try to spit and get my name known, like, on some, like, say what you want about Charles, but he really is gifted. On top of the fact, I played the piano in every school I went to. So it's like people know who I am, but they're just not necessarily clear on how they know me or whether or not it's the kind of respect that you would give your average hood superstar.
Right.
Now you did have a public unraveling. What was it? Was it the pressures of the industry? I've heard it was mental health issues. I've heard it was drugs. What was it?
I mean, I didn't fit in. You know what I mean? Like, there were some things that I disagreed with, and it started to affect the personal side. The business started to affect the personal, so I just decided I was going to fall back from everything, because a lot of people were misunderstanding my moves. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, to make it clear, I'm the one that told the videographer to put the video of me getting punched out.
You posted it.
Yeah, I posted it first on my blog.
Me and you have that in common. We've both been punched on camera.
Rita, what are you about to say, Rita?
I mean, you know I was about to say my thing.
Yeah, talking to Mike, Rita.
What you about to say, Rita?
Sorry.
Go ahead, Rita. Talk that talk. Put your lips on the mic.
Okay.
Oh, man.
No. You're so stupid. Do you know that? Okay, no. I mean, I don't want to get involved because, like, you know, I hear, you know, he hasn't even mentioned or spoke his part or anything. But me watching that, I was like, don't get in a battle with a guy. Sorry. Don't get in a battle with a guy as a female, right? And then do the one thing that you know the guy can't respond to, which is physical violence on camera. Because you know that's a move right there, knowing that he won't hit you back. Because if he did, he's going to look like the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
So So if you can't handle what he's spitting in a battle, don't get in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And then hit someone, because like that's the only thing you can do, because you haven't got a respected response. Like, that's to me is whack.
I never realized that video was a battle.
I mean, whatever, I'm misunderstanding.
He was freestyling, battling, and then he says something that she took offense to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but the crazy part is, like, y'all, like, no one knows what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the only one that knows what she was talking about in her verse.
Right.
So she was sending me some low blows, too. So it was just like, all right, if you want to go there, like, I do this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the reason why I told him to put it out is because there's a lot of domestic violence issues in the world. And,
yeah.
like, I had the opportunity to at least show people with my actions, like, how to respond to a woman when she, you know, gets physical. I, like...
And then Jay-Z just trumped you years later.
I mean, you know...
But we always talk about that. If a female hits you, run.
I never understood the backlash you got for that, because I'm like, what did y'all want him to do? Beat the
girl
up?
Well, that happens with everything, I think. Anytime somebody gets hit on camera, everybody has a billion different ways they would respond. You know.
Well, I think he was very gentleman with his response.
Absolutely. Who was? They said that girl was Mary J. Blige's
stepdaughter.
Yeah.
So that was Ken Do's daughter.
Yeah.
Did Ken Do ever call you about that? Like,
we never spoke about it.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to. I don't know if I should talk about their stuff, but
no,
like,
you
yes,
shouldn't.
You can. Go ahead,
Rita has some media training here.
Go ahead, Charles. Talk that talk, Charles.
Nah, I'm gonna leave it alone. They're a beautiful family. You know what I'm saying? And I respect what they do, but at the same time, like, I feel as though, given the opportunity to speak on the matter as opposed to being, like, casted aside for it, you'd understand it a little bit better.
Absolutely. Was that your girl or something?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Right. Okay.
So it was just
they
like...
He brought up abortion, and clearly he got her pregnant, she had an abortion, and then...
You can't do that in a battle rap. And you can't battle rap a girl that you had an abortion with. Use the abortion
against
her.
But he said she was taking low blows, too, though.
Yeah. Like,
like, what does he say that was so low?
Like, she had already... Damn.
No.
Come on,
no,
Charles.
Don't even get involved.
Because if you explain one time, you don't have to explain
it. Yeah, but he doesn't
again.
Need to, because it's past that. And it was just, like, such a moment that doesn't need to be remembered.
Nah, she...
That's the third time you mentioned a penis, Charlamagne, today.
All right, you're on fire, man. But she,
I think...
Oh, man, like...
No, let me...
What's a low blow to you in a battle, though?
I mean, I'm trying to respect her whole family.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So she's bringing up stuff that she told the family the total opposite. And it was like, what she's saying in the verse contradicts the kind of relationship that her father and her stepmother know us to have.
Okay.
So it's like... I can't call you out on your stuff right away,
mm-hmm.
but what I can do is make you feel really whack about a decision you made that we didn't talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
Did you give her the money for the abortion?
I didn't know it was going to the...
Oh, right.
You are out of control.
I want to know.
But let me ask for Rita and for Charles, for both of you guys, how difficult is it when sometimes things that go on that's outside of the music and all of that, it really kind of overshadows sometimes what you do have going on musically.
Especially you, Rita. People always tell who you dating.
I mean, you know what? To get a perspective of it from my angle, you know, it comes to a point where you really have to just not talk about it and have that awkward silence in interviews where it's like, you know what, I'm not talking about it. Because then you start getting into this kind of repetitive thing where you kind of just keep talking about this and then you forget that you're actually here for something else. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you get all this information and we have this song together. And, you know, for example, I've done, you know, so much things in the past 2 years where I've been focusing on my first debut album that, like, you know, things get overshadowed, like relationships and like fashion and like, you know, campaigns, whatever it is that you want to name it. But at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, really. It's like we're in 2000 and what year are we in? I'm joking. 2015. And it's like, you know, it's about building a 360 empire, you know? If you can do it, then do it.
You wouldn't sign no 360 deal, though.
Well, no, but I have.
Really?
Yeah.
With Roc Nation?
She said, I wouldn't, but I have.
If I wouldn't, but I have, yes.
Oh, okay. Now, you played Christian Grey's sister in 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, I did.
Now, did they edit you, or did you really just have four lines in
well,
the movie?
Well, basically, have you read the novel?
Yeah.
Hell no.
If you read the novel, you see that my character is literally only in it for one scene, which is that scene that was in the movie.
Gotcha.
So my character progresses is progress in the novel. is the same that's going to be with the upcoming movies coming out.
Because you decide, you decide for the next two, I heard, right?
Well, I can't speak about it, but the...
It's been leaked. You signed on for the next two.
Even though you had problems with the writer, E.L. James.
I didn't have any problems with anybody.
Okay.
But it was, you know, it'd be, are you crazy? You put things words into my mouth all the time.
That's what it said in the email.
I had problems.
It said you had problems with the writer.
No, I had no problems with the writer. It was more of a, just, you know, how the movie wanted to be looked at. And the writer's, it's like it's baby.
Well, did you like the first movie? Because, I mean, reading the book, did you think it was, I guess, actual and factual to the book?
Yeah. I mean, I loved the movie. And I think Sam Taylor Wood, the director, is an amazing kind of, storyteller, female in this industry who's really powerful, so I think it did a great job.
Yeah, they said you had a fallout with the writer because of your small role. They didn't even name E.L. James.
Actually, I said to her, why didn't you write a bigger part for so I can get a bigger moment in the role?
Yeah,
she's like, have patience, there's a second and third book. I'm like, yeah, because in the second and third book, I get kidnapped and then there's a whole big palaver over.
Are you supposed to say all this right now?
Yeah.
Well, it's in the novel.
People read the book.
If you read the book, you know. Yeah.
Now, I also read that you want to get it popping in Hollywood.
What's popping?
Like your career.
More acting
you always
roles.
Think somebody want to have sex.
That's no. good. That's you got to ask Charlamagne. That's good.
Yeah, I've got to ask you because I never know what you mean. Like,
like you want to get your acting career going.
No, well, it kind of is going a little bit. I mean, I'm not trying to kind of, you know, step on anybody's toes because my music and my album is the biggest kind of priority for me right now. You know, I haven't even released an album in the States yet. So for me, the drop is the most important. But, you know, I've had these opportunities from Harvey Weinstein and all these companies that, you know, want me to kind of build my platform. And I don't disagree with that, really. I mean, it's not about the role for me. It's about building my kind of
brand. And
yeah, everything. My career. And, like, I'm not that kind of ego to be like, no, I'm not doing it because it's like a 10-minute, it's like a 10-second thing. Like, I'll do it because it's all about your connections and your relationships and being smart and putting your pride to the side and actually getting your ducks in a row, you know what I'm saying?
Now, speaking of ego, you said the Sony leaks came out, and one of the execs didn't know you as Sony.
But you Sony were supposed leaks? To
have a, yeah, the emails.
The email leaks.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, I didn't really pay any attention.
And one of the execs didn't know you, but she was supposed to have a meeting with you. Do you see that and be like, oh, she don't know who I am, I'm not going?
I had no idea that that was even a thing. I didn't even know that. What, I don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't f*** with the blogs, huh?
No, I stopped messing with the blogs.
There's probably
just, like,
so much on you in there. How do you see it all?
I just like looking at my Instagram filters and like making sure my body's right.
There you go. You got a lot of stuff on your blog.
That's the most important thing.
When you guys did the song together,
did you? Ankle, but you good.
Shut up!
Did you know it was going to be an empire?
No.
Nah.
We're really happy about that, huh? Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
That was some really fun. That was a fun day.
How did that even happen? They just submitted the song, or?
Yeah, I mean, just a couple of connects. I didn't burn all my bridges.
Okay, good for you.
So
after you, I guess defecated on Jimmy Iovine, it wasn't no backlash from that.
Never did I.
I thought you said something about Jimmy Iovine was the Illuminati.
No, that's my personal opinion is Jimmy Iovine is a really great guy. Okay. And what I said in the video is Jimmy Iovine is the closest thing we got to God. Mind you, I said that because I was in a very dire position. And if Jimmy or any executive, for that matter, decided to step in and change my life on some Iggy-type-ish, then obviously you would see him as a deity yourself. But
you think it's really that easy? Like a guy can just push a button and say, you're the next superstar?
I'm only doing this so I don't get fined.
That's a good response.
Because you still got to have the music. People still have to gravitate towards you in some way, shape, or form.
But I guess he feels like if you push that button that they're going to force it on you.
You believe that, Rita? You believe they can just push the button and boom, automatically you're a superstar?
No, but I think you're born with something that makes you stand out. And then I think it's up to you to perfect it and bring it out to the public. Mm-hmm. It's called star quality.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I mean?
Now, what do you think, Charles? You think it's something that they can do that they can push a button and...
I'm only doing this so I don't get fined.
I guess that's a yes.
Well, listen, Charles, did you suffer from mental health issues? Because there was things about you being you were bipolar.
Yeah, I mean, I see a doctor. You know what I mean? Like, I've gone through what I've gone through. A lot of stuff. Before I got into the game, I had baggage. I just didn't expect my baggage to overwhelm me the way it did. So now I'm just kind of in a position where I can, you know, at a very more relaxed rate, still make the kind of music I want to make.
Now, bipolar, as far as what?
Extreme highs and lows.
Okay.
That's life, though.
No, it's not. There's some people that really...
Could you let him answer?
That's just life.
I mean, you know, it's a fact of life, but in my case, it gets really bad.
Like what? Give us an example.
I'm only doing this so I don't get fined.
So listen, was there a point where you realized, okay, something's wrong up, and mentally?
I just kept on going, but, like, family was who stepped in and said, you know, I need some sort of intervention. It was mostly family. Mm-hmm.
So they're the ones that made you snap out of it? Because, I mean, it's a lesson that a lot of people could learn from.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Because there's a lot of kids out there that deal with it, and sometimes they don't know how to get by.
Right.
I mean, well, my music is for them. Actually, I have, like, a very select group of people who I want to hear my music. I'll talk about that at another time. But, yeah, like, I hope someone who suffers from bipolar or any mental disorder or has been through the fire, you know what I'm saying? I hope they can listen to my music and, you know, see my presence and find me to be somewhat of an inspiration.
Right. They used to try to diagnose me with all that stuff, bipolar, ADD, try to put me on Ritalin.
Really?
Yep.
I wonder
my
why.
My pops just dismissed all of that. He was like, nope, he ain't crazy. He just acting out. Mm.
And you still acting out?
Yeah.
I'm not acting out.
I think for you, it was more severe. I remember talking to you early on. I feel like you said that you were using heroin and then you just kicked it cold turkey or something.
Yeah, in high school. I think if we can get into that for a second without you like blacking on me or whatever.
No. Because it's interesting because you're the third person I heard this month say they kicked heroin cold turkey. Turk said it.
Turk, yeah.
Somebody else was up here and said
but Turk was in jail. I don't think he had.
Yeah, Turk had.
Oh, he went to jail. Oh, the other guy. The guy, what's the Italian dude name? The
actor. Oh, Lilo Brancato.
Yeah. Both of them said they kicked heroin cold turkey.
They both went to jail, though. But yeah, let's talk about what happened. And
like, it wasn't like it was an experiment in high school. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, my life is full of experiments. So, like, I don't want my usage of any narcotic, if it isn't weed, to kind of shape what you think about me. Mm-hmm. But I think at the time what I was trying to do was undo some damage that a lot of mainstream rappers were doing as far as putting out their other-than-weed drug habits and mm-hmm. how it makes them better rappers. You know, you don't necessarily want a heavyweight drug to be what makes you better, because not only is that bad for you, that's a bad influence to everybody else. Now, what people can say as far as me smoking weed is, you know, Charles, you've been diagnosed with something, you shouldn't smoke. You know, at the same time, there's a medicinal value in it, and there has been facts about marijuana being prescribed for people with bipolar. So, you know, I stamp, it's 420. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I gotta put it up.
And you've also said some people never even come back from that.
Like, yeah, at all.
Doing certain drugs.
You don't. And like in my case, like the way I cleaned up was I was still in high school and I had to go home to a Christian mother. Mm. So it was just like I gotta remember all these Christian values and stuff. It just like it wasn't worth it to keep doing hard drugs. You know what I'm saying? Like I may have had my moments where I was just like, damn, I missed this high, like later on in life. Mm-hmm. But those moments never shaped my behavior. Everything that I've done was intentional. Like, I intentionally acted out. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, I intentionally put the video out. You know, any controversy that you can bring up, it was 100% from me.
What introduced you to heroin?
My classmates.
Damn.
What school was you going to? That was in Harlem?
Bard High School, early college. I went to like 5 high schools.
Damn.
Wow.
You only did it once?
Nah. I was on it.
And it was just...
And I was just like...
No rehab, no nothing. Just...
Nah.
Just wow. One weekend kicked it.
Wow.
You slipping or shooting?
I popped like twice.
Okay.
But like, what it does to your body, it's not really a mental drug. It's the dependency that's mental. Mm-hmm. It puts a weight on your body. You know what I'm saying? So people feel as though they can sit down and watch movies and my classmates at the time, the way we got into it is a whole nother story. But like they felt as though they can sit in the classroom for an extended period of time while they are here, because the classes were like 2-3 hour classes, because mm-hmm. it was a college. The way the school is structured, if you graduate from there, you get your associate's degree.
Okay.
And it was a high school. So the classes were like hours and hours and stuff. So we would get cooked and sit in class and, you know, make bets on whoever could leave the class first. But the reason why we even got into it is because we found out in history class, and we had been discovering this over the years, that opium is in almost everything. So mm-hmm. it's like, why not try it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we going to lose by not experimenting, because with so much opium around, with there actually being traces of cocaine and Coca-Cola, you know what I'm saying? Hard narcotics are in everything we consume. Mm-hmm. So why not just go for it?
What do you like, Rita?
You know, it's 420, woo-woo. But like once in a while. But you know, I'm more about, like, I like a good drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'm English.
I'm with you.
So like, I like
what's your drink of choice?
I like a whiskey or a beer. Oh.
Or whiskey's hard,
or a beer, or a gin and tonic, but like, you know, that kind of stuff.
It's hard to make girls that drink whiskey.
God really?
Yeah, it's what? Hard. Now, Charles, these kids that was selling you heroin,
hold on. Is it hard for you to orgasm?
No.
Oh, okay.
He said no.
The people that was selling you heroin, do you ever look at them and be like, how could you do that to a kid?
Nah, they 98% of them are dead.
Hey.
And like, they.
Karma, maybe?
Well, I mean, I was in 10th grade when I started. So, and I was like, I can make my own decisions. You know what I mean? Like, I was, at the time, I was living in the Bronx, and my school was in the Lower East Side.
Mm-hmm.
So that long travel, you have enough time to raise yourself as a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had my father around. There's very few influences other than Eminem, Dipset, and whatever was on hot, another radio station.
On Hot 97 at the time.
Y'all wasn't.
We don't worry about that. We're not that petty.
Yeah, whatever was on Hot at the time, you know, that's what I was being raised by. But I had some sense. So my thing was, instead of, I'm gonna go really in as far as like the social aspect of everything I know. I wasn't in it. I wasn't in my hood, both living and school wise, because I had left Rice High School. So I wasn't anywhere familiar. The people who I was going to school with are white, just like they would call me in Harlem. And, you know, it was like a culture shock for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we understood each other while we were underground. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, look, I'm not judging you. You're not judging me. We actually had some really deep conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, we would go so hard in a conversation, making sure that the other person in the conversation would know that this is not the drugs talking. This is my pure intelligence. I wanted back then and right now, I want people to understand, like, I'm an intelligent dude and I take pride in my intelligence.
Where are you at now socially?
I stay to myself.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I try not to get involved in too much of the hoopla. Like, I appreciate the buzz that's going on with the wreck with me and Rita. But I try to stay away from it all.
Did you have any reservations of working with Charles, Rita, when they first approached you about doing this?
No, not at all, because I don't judge people by things apart from when I met them. When I meet them, and I met him, and I just kind of was like, he's the coolest, nicest guy I've ever met. And I respect him a lot, and I think he's one of the bravest people I've met in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you feel like you got some catching up to do? Because I remember when you was on the cover of XXL with B.O.B. and Currency and Wale and Cuddy, and all of them have had pretty good careers. Do you feel like you got catching up to do?
Well, not really, because all I wanted was a select group of people to listen to my music. I didn't care if Brooklyn Girls was a hit, you know what I'm saying? Like, the songs that bubbled, like Windows Media Player and Loser, those were my type of records that I wanted people to hear. And the people that gravitated toward that, they got like a first chance listen, and that's not really the phrase I want to use, but they got like an up close and personal interaction with me, because like I would make my most personal music and give it straight to the fans, no marketing, no nothing. Like I would take fans' email addresses and send it to them. So like I have a very close relationship with my fans. So though I'm thankful for the XXL thing, like I'm not necessarily in a rush to, you know, oh, I got to beat B.O.B., I got to beat Wale. It's not even about that. It's like, really, it's about the people who've been listening to my music.
Who are these groups of people you keep talking about? Just people that like Charles Hamilton? Or do you have a, like, select race? I don't know. Gender? Like, what is it? Class?
No, there's no... A star chaser is someone who wants to get closer to the person who inspired them the most.
That's your
and
team? That's
like my fans are called Star Chasers. Right. So like all of my Star Chasers, no matter where they are, no matter what they've been through, where they're from, they can get in contact with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like as far as how you become a Star Chaser, even if you want to be one, you know, showing interest in me and and how I'm surviving from day to day and understanding the skill and the intelligence classifies you as a star chaser.
I always wonder why you never stayed independent, because you always talk about being up close and personal with your fans and not really loving the system and staying away from people. What made you sign to a major instead of just staying that way?
Yo, hated the love and the money.
Okay.
You know, and like,
I'm mad at you for getting the money.
Is, you know, it comes with compromise. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But
do they compromise your music as well?
We're working on that.
As long as they ain't compromising your booty hole.
Oh man.
Yeah, no to that.
No to anal, Rita?
I'm not getting involved. But I think also our team's great. Like, our management, Turn First, like, honestly, I don't know what I would do without them. And I think Charles would agree with me on that. Like, they really support us in a way where not a lot of managers really do.
So, oh, without question. Yeah.
They're great.
So Turn First is...
Like, a lot of managers would have cut you off immediately once you was going through everything you was going through.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I was on Violator.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, they showed love, but it's not like with Turn First. Like, Turn First is actually cares. Like,
yeah, they do. They do us, and they do Iggy, they do Ellie Goulding, they do a bunch of different genres, too, which is what makes them really dope.
And for you, Charles Hamilton, didn't they put you, like, they made sure you got your psychiatric help? They wanted to make sure you were taken care of before you even...
Yeah, started recording.
That's a big deal, because a lot of times with labels, it's like, okay, it's not making us no money right now. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. He's out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rita, you was defending Madonna. Yeah.
Yes, I was.
For that kiss she pulled on Drake at Coachella.
Charlamagne,
why don't you guys get Madonna
on the
show? He
gave her Donkey of the
That'll
Day,
be dope.
Okay, for that.
I did.
You did a what?
I gave her Donkey of the Day.
What does that mean?
The Jackass of the Day.
Why am I a jackass?
Not you. He gave Madonna.
Why?
I just feel she's too old for that. She's 56 years old. And it's a difference between being 50. You can be 56 and sexy, but 56 and slutty, that don't work no more.
See, that's why people like you make people feel like they have to retire. When they don't have to retire just because of their age. They retire because they physically can't move.
She don't have to retire because of age, but she can evolve.
I mean, she's evolving, though, like, in your
like
face.
Prince evolved. Prince stopped performing all them freaky songs.
Well, that was part of his religion, though, I think, because he was a Jehovah's Witness. He decided not to do that anymore.
Well, I mean, being in Prince's company, not boosting or anything like that, but, like, knowing him for God, I don't even know how I do, even though, like, wow, but, like...
Whatever! And you're bragging.
But I have to, because he's major. You would brag, too, if you knew Prince.
I did. When I saw him, I didn't know what to say.
I don't either, still to this day.
The only thing I could think to say was, I grew up Jehovah's Witness, too.
Well, I think he's... Did you?
That's all I could say.
Did you?
That's all I said to him.
But you didn't really.
Prince was like, okay, great.
But did you?
That's all I could think to say. It wasn't no.
What I'm saying is, are you lying? Or you have grown up?
Oh, no, I really did. I did grow up.
Oh, okay, right.
Prince looked at him and just kept him moving.
Oh, no way.
He said, we have to talk about that one day.
Yeah, that's good. You should.
That was
the curve. How he floated away?
No, he really floated. He had a purple cape on, and I took a picture.
Did he have a cape?
He did have a cape.
I know.
Yeah. And a purple cape, and I took a picture of him, and I had the picture, and then the picture went black in my phone.
No way.
I swear to God.
He had two chicks with him, too, yeah.
I think, what was the question?
About Madonna. We were talking about Madonna.
Oh, no.
What was the question?
Yeah, because we're not off track. Yeah. No, I just said what I thought was the truth, and I think she paved the way back then, and she's paving the way now for people her age. And if I get to that age and I can still move, I still want to be looked at and respected. So, like, I'd love to go on stage at her age and, like, kiss someone and, like, people tell me this and that. But at the end of the day, like, she's really paving a way for people, not only her age, but for us, mm-hmm. young artists at this time and this day and age.
But how do you stay focused with so much of your life and your personal life in the blogs and news all the time?
Well, I guess it's like what Charlamagne said. Like, I just don't really look at blogs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I just focus on my Instagram and my Twitter and all that. But I just really try to keep it to myself. I mean, it's up to me who I date. I'm 24. If I was a 24-year-old girl and I didn't have this fame, nobody would be judging me for anything. You know what I'm saying?
Very true. Mm-hmm.
So, like,
except
I feel
people
like
in your hood.
Except people in my hood mm-hmm. or wherever, but like I feel like I'm just living my life really, and I'm kind of blessed for that.
Well, who are you dating now? Are you dating somebody now?
Well, I'm just doing my thing.
Ricky Hill.
Charles Hamilton.
Can you just?
Oh man.
She's dating Tommy Hilfiger. She's dating Tommy Hilfiger.
I'm just doing
right
my
now.
Thing. Like I said, awkward silence in interviews.
But everybody don't ask you these kind of questions, though.
Yeah, they
yes,
do.
Yes, they do.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they do.
Oh. And actually, he's an artist as well. Rich Hill. I think his name used to be. Or is that a different song?
Well, I'm just going to do an awkward silence because it's about the music, New York Raining.
There you go.
Because y'all could do a song together.
What's the guy name?
Ricky Hill.
Why are you guys so good at this?
Ricky Hilfiger.
Seriously, it's like, I want to learn how to do this.
Tommy Hilfiger.
I want to learn how to interrogate people like with my boyfriends. Like, I wish I could do this to like whoever I date, you know,
you can
and
hire
interrogate
us.
Them. Like, so what's this? What's that?
Yes,
it's out of control, but it's good technique.
It's only because you're young and you don't care right now. When can you get somebody that you really, really in love with? You're gonna learn the art of interrogation.
You don't know if I care or not. That's not nice.
That's very true.
Yeah, see, she cares.
You was in love before.
You know.
I like how your keeps popping up.
Oh, oh.
But Charles,
you are out of control. What? Turn around, you rude piece of I can't even deal with you. No, how about
it
now?
It just kept popping out. I wasn't trying to look, but every time I tried to ask Charles a question, it was right there.
I'm too young for you, pervert.
Next step is not a big deal.
I'm too young for you. You can't even make chicks come on whiskey.
Listen,
like, I can't even do it right
can
now.
Date Kylie, I can eat your.
No.
But Charles, that's nothing. When's the album dropping, Charles?
This is awkward.
We're looking at an EP in June and an album in September.
Okay.
And what about you, Rita? Your next project?
My album comes. My single comes out May the 11th in the UK. I mean, in Europe, and then it comes out July in the States.
You do the voice in the UK too, right?
I do. Yes, I do the voice. I'm a coach in the UK, and we just finished it. It was amazing, actually. So, the voice in the US is pretty interesting to me too.
What you gonna do? Be a judge or be a?
I mean, I'd love to, you know, do the US coach, but I'd like to release my music first, you know. Mm. I mean, I think Pharrell does an amazing job on the show, and he looks really good. I mean, I got this idea from him, the
I
beats.
Bet you don't think Pharrell too old for you.
I mean, he don't look old.
Well, you guys are both married.
I'm joking.
I'm about to ask a question, but maybe I don't want the answer.
No, I'm kidding. No, you don't. You actually look really young. I have to give it to you. You look great.
No, thank you very much.
It's okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we got Rita Ora, Charles Hamilton.
Thank you,
guys. We appreciate
you guys
for joining us.
And Charles, you got to come back when the music drops and tell us who these people that you're catering your album to. Because you said you don't want to speak about it at this time.
I'm only doing this so I don't get fined.
Nice.
Got you.
There you go.
Thank you.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.